Boy, isn't it just great to be able to look out those windows and see sunshine hitting the ground? How many of y'all had enough rain? I tell you what, I know God knows what He's doing when He sends the rain. We've had enough rain. Somebody told me this morning that we've had enough rain in Texas to cover the whole United States and at least give them an inch. And I think that's true. But, man, I tell you what, I'm glad to see the sunshine. You know, this is a message that the Lord gave me this week. It talks about discipleship. I told the folks on Wednesday night Bible study, I said, if you want to know what a disciple is, a disciple of Christ, you need to come Sunday, because that's what the message is about. I remember I had some cattle over at Field Store, Texas, and we got a renegade bull in there. And I just couldn't get him out by myself. I tried. This thing was just like a deer. As soon as he saw you, he just took off running. And he always headed for the thicket every single time. So I called some buddies of mine, and I said, man, guys, I said, I need some help. And one of my buddies, he professed to be a cowboy. He looked like one. He dressed like one. He had a horse, and he said he knew how to rope. And he said, and I got a couple of buddies, two more buddies, and they know how to rope too, and they're cowboys. I said, man, that's great. I can use some real ones. I said, I need someone that can help me. They said, okay. So we show up before daylight, and we get between the bull and the woods. So we ride through the woods so that he is cut off. He has no place to go except by us, where we could get a loop on him. As you might know, I tried twice to put a rope on this bull, and he was running so fast, and my horse was running so slow that I missed. But I finally got up to him just before he got to the brush, and I roped him, and I stopped him, and I pulled him. And I mean, this thing was mad, as you might know. The other guys, it was terrible. They couldn't ride their horses. They couldn't get up there. They tried a couple of times to rope, but all they were doing was hitting my horse. That's how far back their loop would go toward the bull. They never even got anywhere near him. And they couldn't ride their horses. Their horses, some of them was bucking, and some of them just flat wouldn't run. And this bull just sucked me into the brush because I didn't have any help. Eventually, I just had to reach and cut my rope because I could not move. He had sucked me into this yopon thicket that was, I was laid back and the vines were around my horse's neck. He couldn't breathe and I couldn't move either. You know, when you get out in a pasture and you're working cows and you ask for help, sometimes you get pretenders. They talk a good talk, but they don't even know how to ride a horse. They can't rope. And one thing I did find out about a pretender is they're afraid to stand in the gap. They're afraid to stand and put their horse in that gate and protect that hole. Why is that? Any of you cowboys understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about standing in the gap? Because that is it's a hot place to be, because they're going to go through there if you don't stop them, if you don't figure out, if you don't have the guts to stand there and protect it. They look like cowboys on the outside, but they've never actually done the work. They've never actually done it at all. You know, but there are cowboys that have different skill levels, and I'm on the lowest end of it, I promise you. But there's some that really are skillful at their jobs. And we've got a bunch of those here at our church. They know what to do. And they're good hands. But I'm talking about someone who says they can do it and never even really tried. Never even really tried. Never tried to learn how to ride a horse or to throw a loop at all. You know, as believers in Christ, we're called not only to be disciples of Christ, but we're called to make disciples. You know, but that's easier said than done. Just in the same way, a person who wants to learn to be a cowhand has to sacrifice time and sometimes his own health to learn that lesson on how to be a cowboy, how to get the skills together necessary to work cattle. It costs him something. He has to put the time and the effort in to learn how to rope, to learn how to ride his horse, learn how to read cattle before they break, looking at them. I was talking to Wendell the other day, and he said, you know, I learned that lesson well about being able to look at a cow and tell just exactly before it happens if he's going to break, if he's going to run, and especially if he's going to run over me or try to. Let's look at Luke chapter 9, verse 23 through 24. Luke 9, 23 through 24. Folks, this is important about being a disciple. It's about doing something that Christ commanded us to do if we want to follow him. It says in 23, it says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways and take up your cross daily and follow me. And if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give it up, if you give it up, your life for my sake, you will save it. Being a Christian costs something. Being a disciple costs something. It involves becoming a learner. If you want to learn how to do something, don't you try to go find the best that there is to try to learn from them. When I wanted to learn how to heal, I went to Rich Skelton, a guy who's doing good now, but that's the guy I went to two of his schools to learn how to heal. When I was trying to learn how to head, I went to another roper that was famous for heading. And his name just disappeared from my brain just now. But you try to go to a master, someone who is really, who has it down, who knows what to do. And you learn from them and they teach you. Like David Key did at our roping school here just a month or two ago. That means that you study when you want to become a disciple of Christ. You study his word. You take part in Bible studies. You absorb everything that you can that the church ministry has to offer for the Christian. It means developing a relationship with Jesus through prayer and Bible study. Because a disciple is a learner. You must learn about the one you're going to follow. How can you follow someone and you say you want to be like them if you never find out who that person is or what they believe or what they expect out of you, what he wants you to do in your life? It means you take on that person's agenda. You take on Jesus's agenda, and it becomes your agenda. What he wants to do, you decide. You make the decision, I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. His mission becomes your mission. A Christian, an actual disciple of Christ, impacts other people's lives. They make a difference in their lives. He shares things with them and takes care of them and watches over them and helps them to go in Christ. But the main thing he does is he loves them. Because Jesus, if he is anything, he is love. And he shows concern for everyone. When you go to work with someone on a ranch, they have a particular way that they like things done, don't they? You might say, well, that guy is really hard-headed. No, he just knows his cattle. He knows his setup there at his ranch. And how it works best. So when you go to help them, you don't go there and say, hey, I'm going to do it the way I always know. I know how to do it. You find out how they want it done. And you do it the way they ask you to do it. You're humble because you want to do it. You really want to please that person. That's what you want to do. You want at the end of the day to get the job done, but you want them to be happy with the work that you did. A true disciple is committed to doing Christ's work here on earth. So is Jesus happy with the work that we're doing for him today? Is he? That's a question we have to ask each other. We have to look into our own hearts and say, what am I doing for Jesus? Is he happy with what I am doing? What is my job as a Christian or as a disciple? The main thing as a disciple is telling others what Jesus has done for us and what he can do for them. To show them what Jesus has to offer. So what does Jesus have to offer this morning? Anybody know? Everlasting life. Salvation. Eternal life. A life that's worth living. That's what Jesus offers. The path to becoming a disciple of Christ is a daily thing that you have to do. Denying yourself, saying, I'm not going to get my way today. I'm going to let Jesus have his way in my life today. So what does that look like? When your desire for the day, what you want to do that day, conflicts with what Jesus is wanting you to do for that day, you pick what Jesus wants. When Jesus asks for A in your life and you want to do B, you choose A out of what? Out of obedience. Out of obedience to him. Being a follower of Christ is, it's kind of like a daily wrestling match of what you want and what he wants. The closer you become, the more you get closer to him, the more you become like him, the less that wrestling match happens. But you know now where you're at right this moment, if you're really having to struggle with it, if it's a wrestling match, that it's just back and forth. Really, this is what I want to do today. This is what Jesus wants me to do today. Then you know where you are in your walk as a Christian. To be a true follower of Christ, like it talks about here, it says, if you want to be my follower, he says, if you want to follow me and be like me, you have to take up your cross and follow me. You have to do what he wants, not what you want. Being a disciple has nothing to do with whether you're going to heaven or not. I'm not talking about salvation here. What I'm talking about is everything, whether you find out what your true purpose life in life is or not. If you have the abundant life that the Bible talks about, this, what does abundant mean? Overflowing. More than you can handle. Just the best of the best. That's what he wants to give you. It's your choice, though, whether you want the best that God has to offer you, or you want to settle for the least that you can get by on. It's your choice. Do you want the best what God has for your life that day? How many's ever gone and just got up that morning and went to work and you're all the way about three quarters through your day and you just realize that you didn't even talk to the Lord not one time? Anybody ever that ever happened to you? Oh, folks. Somebody not telling it. I'm one of them too. Everybody does that, don't they? Everybody does not all every day do it. Maybe you do most of the time, but there's those days that you forget and you're wondering, why is this day not going the way, it's just not going good. I'm having all this, these issues, all these problems, all these things are going on. It's because why? You're doing what you want to do and not what Christ wants you to do. Maybe there was someone there that you were supposed to talk to, and because you didn't start your day off with the Lord, that person never came up to you. Or you didn't see it. They did, and you let that moment pass when you could have told them about the Lord. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord has a purpose for you to do. He has a job for every one of us. But are we doing the job? Are we learning? Are we being that kind of person that we can use? Are we being a vessel that he can use? And when the Bible talks about being a vessel, he's talking about your life, what you do with it. Can he use your life? Has it got cracks in it so big that he can't fill it up with everything, the abundant life that he wants? What puts cracks in your vessel or in your body? Sin. Unconfessed sin. But when you confess it and say, Lord, you've got to fix me. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for sinning against you. He shapes you back into shape. And he seals those cracks. And he's able to use you again. If it's been a while since you've been used by God, you probably got a crack somewhere. And you need to ask God, Lord, I don't know if I've sinned against you. I don't know what I've done, but if I have, would you show it to me? Because you may be going through that day and you go, you know, it's been a pretty good day. I don't think I've sinned one time. I don't think I've done anything wrong today. I've been pretty good. And then you ask God, you go, Lord, show me if I've done something wrong. He goes, yeah, you were proud right off the bat. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about me. Do you want the abundant life that God offers? It's your choice to have the best or just settle. I want the best. How about you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord, just thanking you for the blessings that you do give us, Father. I just pray that we would really live up to what we agreed to do when we received the abundant life, the salvation that you offered, that we would start learning from you, the Master, learning how to love, learning how to bring others to Christ, learning how to talk to people, learning how to be your representative in this world, Lord. Any time in America, it's a good thing for us to stand up. But especially now when things look so bad, it's more important for us to stand up for you now than it's ever been before. I just pray that as believers, Lord, as followers of you, even though we may not be in the same stage of our lives, Father, but that you would be able to use us wherever we are. I just thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for every single person that's sitting here this morning, Lord. I just pray, Father, that you would use them in a mighty way, that you would just take their life and transform it and make them into the Christian that you want them to be, that they would be more like you every single day. And that's my prayer for myself as well, Lord. I just thank you for the day and thank you for the blessings. I ask you to put a protective hedge around them for the next week or two, Lord, and from beyond, to keep the devil from being able to just hammer on them and to tell them that really they don't need to change anything in their life. They're okay right where they are. I just pray, Father, that you would just show them the way to become closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Man, I tell you what, I am so thrilled to be here this morning. How many of you are glad you came to church this morning? Man, I tell you, it's just good to get out into the sunshine and have some sun drying up and lapping up all that water. But now we got what? Mosquitoes? Big ones. I saw a thing on the internet the other day that one of my friends on Facebook posted on there. He says, "I wish that Noah had swatted them two mosquitoes that he put on the ark, because it showed a big giant mosquito carrying off one of his critters. You know, it was just flying around with one of the cows in its claws." So. I kind of wish, you know, God does know, but I kind of wish you'd have killed them two skeeters too myself. All right. If you're visiting here this morning, we want to say welcome to Common Ground Cowboy Church. We're just so thrilled that you're here this morning. If you're looking for a church home, we just pray that you would consider, pray that the Lord would show you the church that you need to serve in. He wants you to serve in. We're not trying to pull you from another church. If you're going to church somewhere, we just want you to serve somewhere that God would use you where you are. Because I tell you, the mission of Common Ground is not to draw people from other churches, but it's to reach the unlost, the unchurched, and for us to bring our friends and to tell our friends that don't know Christ. That's what our church is about. So we're glad you're here. If you have any prayer requests, we have a prayer box back in there you can put your prayer request in. And we have a can back there that you can put your offering to the Lord. We don't pass a hat around here. And here come the kids.